Hello, Queen's Club.
It is time for your call for the month, and I am going to turn on the chat and turn on participants. Make sure I got everything in. And if you want coaching, all you got to do is raise your hand. If you don't want to get coached, but you would love to just ask a question, you can always come on and just ask a question. You can also ask questions in the Q&A box, and we can do that. Let me get Coach Mish up here. And if no one wants coaching, guess what we do? We end the call. So far, there's not a single queen that needs to answer a question, get unstuck, or is dealing with any problems in their life right now. Thank you, Andrea. We'll call on you. Some of y'all going to be feeling like, hey, I was going to spend all Sunday, but looks like no one wants help this week. All right, Andrea. So just make sure you raise your hand if you want to get coached. Let's get you unmuted and get you to start your video. There we go. Let's get you unmuted.
Hi.
Hey, what you want coaching on, or what do you want help with?
So I just need help kind of getting unstuck. I feel like I've done pretty good and made a lot of really huge changes in my life since joining No BS. I've also lost 35 pounds. So, and I've been able to keep it off despite like going through grief, losing my mom, changing jobs. And then I feel like No BS has been pretty instrumental in helping me do things that normally I wouldn't have found the courage to do on my own. Like, for instance, I just applied for public service loan forgiveness. And my mom had, before she passed rather unexpectedly, but before she passed, she kept saying, "Why don't you apply for loan forgiveness? Because I'm a physician." And she's like, "You've done enough public service." And I kept saying, "No, no, no, I don't think I'm going to qualify." And then after she passed, I just ran into a college friend and she was like, "Why haven't you applied for public service loan forgiveness?" So then I finally like got the courage up because it was a huge pain in the ass and like applied. It took about 16 hours to finish the application and I just got forgiven $250,000 worth of loans.
Okay, good.
So now it's like, I feel like everything that I've wanted in life has happened other than finishing the weight loss piece. And I just need to figure out.
Where are you stuck?
I think I have a tendency to think that I can do things in my head because I'm high functioning in other areas of my life that I don't need to write stuff down. But the irony is that when I write,
how do you know that you can't just function in your head?
Because I found that when I write stuff down, like when I first started and I was like kind of in a groove, I mean, I'm doing things and that I've never been able to do before, like getting up at 4 in the morning and forcing myself to walk just because I know it's good for me, you know? So I'm like making time for other things, but for some reason I can't find time to journal. And I know I can
find time.
Why do
you need to journal though? Tell me why you need to journal. Cause I don't journal every day. Most people don't. And a lot of people lose weight without journaling. Tell me why you want to journal every day.
I think for me, because of the hours that I keep and my lack of sleep sometimes, like sometimes I'll do a 24-hour call and then I'm not saying I've forgotten what I've eaten because I'm very conscientious in the moment when I'm grabbing something, but I want to start keeping track so I can clean things up a bit, if that makes sense. Because I don't feel.
Then why do you not just do that? If you want, I mean, you just said, I want to keep track of what I'm eating. Why not just write down the things you eat on a piece of paper as you go, or put them in your phone or whatever you want to do?
Yeah, I think I guess I'm just coming on since no one else is raising their hand.
That's fine. But I'm curious, like you said, I want to do this. I haven't done it. I know all the reasons why to do it. Why are you not just doing it? I guess I don't understand why you don't just like, all right, starting right now, anything I eat, tracked.
Yeah. I know. It's one of those things that I think it's kind of like I have a tendency to be over analytic and overthink things. And if I can't do it perfectly, and if I don't write down every single thing, then it's like I live in the 100% perfectionism versus don't do it at all situation. And I need to start.
Well, let me ask you this. What happens when you don't, let's say you forget to write some stuff down. What happens?
Nothing. Other than, I mean, I guess just it's this idea of not being accountable. So maybe part of my issue is that in the past, when I had issues with overeating, I would, I'm not going to use the word conveniently forget, but it's kind of like, I still sometimes have this mentality where, oh, well, why am I not losing weight right now? Well, let me take an analytical look at it. And then if I'm being really analytical, I'm like, oh my gosh, so I ate that and that, and I didn't really keep
the
track.
The problem isn't the tracking and stuff. The problem is that when you look at what you're doing, you're an asshole to yourself. So the problem's not perfectionism. It's not black and white. A lot of us like to say that, you know, perfectionism, that it really shouldn't be called perfectionism.
Yeah.
It should be called self-abandonment.
Yeah.
Literally no one's really a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a true perfectionist, you know what you do? You do everything and you never stop until it's perfect. That's a true perfectionist. Like when you think of, I want y'all to think about artists. There have been many artists and musicians and different things throughout history. And they're true perfectionists where they cannot stop until they have finished it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfectionist. Now, a self-abandoner is completely different. That is someone who's like, oh my God, I stopped doing things because if I do them and it's not right, it's not that I'm a perfectionist, because if I was a perfectionist, I'd be like, let's fucking figure this out because my ass is fixing to win. Mm-hmm. I can't tolerate less from myself. A self-abandoner is like, oh my God, I didn't do it right. I must never gonna be lose weight. I must be a loser. This must mean I'm lazy. It must mean these terrible things about me. So I'll quit doing that so I don't have to think terrible things about myself. Instead of what if that is highlighting when I develop a better relationship with myself, now I can become unstoppable. I can become a perfectionist who's like, fuck no, nothing stands in my way. If I'm like jacking ass here, then we're going to fix that. And I ain't going to stop until that gets solved. I will track every fucking thing that goes in this mouth until I get to my goal weight. Because the only way to get to my goal weight is to know what the hell's going in my mouth. That would be a perfectionist. So let's not call ourselves a perfectionist, because I think it feels good to say that. It feels noble. It feels justifiably broken. we just abandon ourselves the moment our brain acts like an asshole. I just abandon myself. I give up because I don't want to hear my own shit. So we don't want to solve by getting rid of something. We want to solve by saying, should turn up the volume. I want to hear more of my shit so I can rework that shit.
Yeah. So I think maybe one of the in-between things that I could possibly do is just start taking pictures of everything I eat, because that takes 2 seconds.
Exactly.
And then I can look back and say, okay, I had this, 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 and that. So this old excuse, I'm too busy, I can't write that down right now. Where's my book? You know what I mean? It's always,
Put it kind of goes. In,
yeah.
Use your notes app.
Yeah. But I wanted to also thank you, because never in my life would I ever have imagined getting this much shit done, you know, people say, when you say it's not just about the weight, it really isn't just about the weight. It's trying to figure out that emotional component that got me to where I am in the first place. And that takes, I'm 46, so I have been developing some of these habits and these patterns and stuff for 46 years. So I don't expect them to be resolved, but just looking at my life without this group versus with this group, I it's just shocking to see what I've managed to accomplish in such a short period of time. And it definitely wasn't coincidence, you know?
Yeah. And imagine what you're going to accomplish when you just start telling yourself, like, I'm not giving up. We're just going to go. And there's no need for, like, if I'm talking hard to myself, like I am no longer going to call myself a perfectionist. I am either abandoning myself or I'm going to prove that I am a perfectionist because there's no quit in this.
Yeah.
And so the moment that it doesn't look good and my brain is like being a jerk, I don't abandon myself because of that. I just tell myself, like, look, whatever I'm thinking is probably catastrophizing, jumping to conclusions, or a ridiculous telenovela.
Yeah. I love those telenovelas.
Do what?
I love those telenovelas.
I know. And then we all do that to ourselves. It's like, you know, we just act like so dramatic when we miss a day making a plan. Like that derails all my weight loss. It's like I'm starting over from ground zero. Like, really? You didn't write yourself down for a day?
Pass off this call and I'll go journal.
That's all I
go take a picture. So thank you, Corinne, for all of your help. I appreciate it. I'll check back with you in 6 months.
Yes. And congratulations. Just literally, I do want to say this before you go. Congratulations on all the things that you've done. Like to be doing the things that you're doing, losing the weight, like raising your hand to get coached when nobody else would, all of that stuff is like applause to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Take care. And thank you for help.
All right.
Always. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
I just want to tell y'all that whole perfectionist thing literally came from an Instagram post that I read from, her name is Simone Soul. You got to be into like magic, dragons, and wizardry. But let me tell you, they're probably like, okay, wow. Like Corinne, the non-woo. I'm very shocked that that's who she follows. Simone used to be, she used to do, she was a coach. And then she did like some marketing stuff. I got to follow her because she did the joyful marketing. Well, she's abandoned all of that. Now she is, I don't know. She's doing some mystical, magical stuff. Not sure. Anyway, she happened to drop a little post. Most stuff that she posts now, I'm like, okay, not my cup of tea. That one about perfectionism was gold. And so I was like just waiting for the moment to use it. Hey, before I call on the next two people, I want to answer, there's a question that came in. Anonymous, you typed in, I have a lot of resistance to writing down a plan as I know that I keep blowing the plan. I lost 20 pounds, no writing, but just stopped it enough. But I have 50 to go and feel stuck. So my first question is, like, are you stuck in your weight loss? Because if you're not stuck in your weight loss, I wouldn't layer in planning until you actually were stuck in your weight loss. If you're actually stuck in your weight loss, and stopping at enough is probably now where you might want to start doing the planning. But the problem that you have is your thought about, I keep blowing the plan. It doesn't matter if you blow your plan. It does not matter if you blow your plan. What matters is, what do you tell yourself after? If you're blowing your plan and you tell yourself after, okay, like I'm team perfectionist now. I just need to figure out, is it because of what I'm planning? Is it because I have unrealistic standards for the foods? Am I trying to, like, whatever? Or is what I, Simone Soul is, Tig is who it was. If blowing the plan never caused you to ever talk terribly to yourself, and all you did was learn, you probably wouldn't mind making a plan every day until you figured out how you were crafting daily plans that were easy to follow and only eat when you're hungry and stop it enough. But most of y'all don't want to go through the part where we have to, this is what I keep telling everyone, please, for all of you, please stop trying to, I'm going to make plans. How do I start making plans while keeping the asshole? Solve the real problem. What do I make it mean when I blow my plan? That's the question we have to ask. If you want to get coached on it, feel free to raise your hand. One thing I would like to do, is if there's anybody here who is having this thought, I would love to coach you on it. I feel like I need to be it's like it intellectually makes sense to make a 24-hour plan and whatnot. And I'm the kind that can't have that much freedom. I need more rules. I need something stricter to get me to lose weight. If that's you, I would love to coach you. So if you will put it in the Q&A, your name, and then I'll tell you to raise your hand, let me know. And while we're waiting to see if there's anybody here who suffers from that, I will promote Linda. And we will get to coaching you. Janelle had the most beautiful comment. My plan is just that. It's just a plan. I stick to it. Great. If not, I look at my reason. And if I like my reason for going off plan, great. If I don't like the reason that I went off plan, it's something I don't want to repeat. Then it's an opportunity for me to learn from it. And like basically, if you like your reasons, so what? Every one of you is going to have to not eat what's on your plan all the time while you're losing weight. The whole goal of making a plan, y'all, has nothing to do with, it's not just following it. Making the plan makes you think through your day. It reveals diet mentality. It lets you see rules that you try to operate from. It allows you to take care of yourself. So like if you have really busy days and stuff, making a plan allows you to put in accommodations for that version of you. It allows you to plan joy and pleasure, where in past diets, you weren't allowed to plan those things. That's what the plan is for. And when y'all make it such a big fucking deal, when y'all like sit there and act like it's just like, it's the gold standard. I've got to have a plan. And if I don't follow the plan, I must not going to be losing weight. Y'all, when I first started, I never planned. I didn't put the planning in until later because then it was making it easier on me. And that's why I start y'all off with it in the beginning so it can be easier for you rather than waiting until the end, waiting until the middle like me. All right, Linda, if you're going to get coached, we need to get you unmuted and we need to get your video started. Otherwise, there we go. She's coming. All right, great. Now let's unmute you. All right, what you want coaching on?
Honestly, I'm not too sure what I'm doing with this iPhone.
It's fine, but I will tell you one thing. Brynn doesn't do well when you're moving. I get real car sick real easy. If you could sit down, it would help me.
Okay, let me sit.
Yeah, no, I get super nauseous with, like, I have friends that will say, I'm going to be doing a lot of moving in this Marco Polo. Turn off the camera.
Okay.
Yeah, I get real sick. All right. What do you want help with?
Well, I just can't seem to stick with it, with or without a plan. I just can't. I get disgusted. And
stick with what, though, specifically? Is it just the plan?
The plan, the diet, the exercise, all of it.
Okay, I'm not even going to talk about exercise, because you know me. I don't think exercise
is part of it. Right, you don't care about that, right?
I don't care about it. Not one ounce. Okay. You know why? Because a lot of y'all get real hemmed up on trying to exercise and keep your shitty thoughts about yourself and your shitty ass eating. No one's going to ever outrun a shitty diet. And no one can outrun a terrible attitude about themselves. That's why I deprioritize movement. Is it good if you guys are walking and doing some shit? Yes, it's good for you. But when you put that over your self-esteem, your self-concept, and nutrition that you're putting in your body, oh, we ain't really doing nothing at that point. I always think mental health is going to be more important than physical, because mental will drive the physical. All right, so we'll set that aside. What do you want to talk about? When you say the diet, what do you even mean by that?
Well, just I binge eat.
Okay.
So no matter you know, no matter what it is, even when it's good for me, I'm still, you know, get to that point. Well, I do good. I do great for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I start binge eating because of something, you know, something on the news, which I'm trying to stay away from.
Good. When you say, I do good for a while, tell me what good looks like in your life.
Getting up early.
Okay.
Having a breakfast of either a smoothie or an egg, and then stopping because I'm full, you know, I'm trying to be more aware of that.
Okay. What else?
I guess I just get bored. Well, on a good day, I don't get bored. I keep going and I feel better. I accomplish things. I don't know. All of a sudden, I start losing interest in it all.
Okay. So you lose interest in smoothies and eggs, stopping at enough. And what else do you lose interest in?
Doing things.
Like you lose interest in getting up in the morning.
Well, yeah.
And you lose. And when you say things, what are the things? You lose interest in doing what things?
Well, I should be cleaning house. There's a lot of things I should be doing.
Can we just set that one aside? Like, are you really shocked that you lose interest in cleaning the house?
Well, I hear a lot of girls say, oh, I love to clean house. That's their thing
to
do.
Who are they?
I know a couple of them.
Who?
Well, one was a past friend.
Okay. So you knew one person. Who else?
Another one was a past coworker.
Okay. Two. Who else?
That's it.
Okay. And how many people do you think you've known in the course of your life?
Actually clean house or enjoy cleaning house?
Yeah. I want to know, like, how many people, let me ask you this. If you just had to wildly guess, how many people in the course of your life have you heard complain about cleaning their house?
Everyone. Mostly.
Right. And you're sitting there going, I just lose interest. Like, well, I hear all these other people who love it. Like, you knew two people in the course of your lifetime that liked cleaning house, and now you are somehow broken because you lose interest. I'm going to be like, I kind of think we all lose interest. So here's the deal. We're not even going to coach on that one. We're going to allow ourselves to be like, there's probably things I lose interest in that don't mean I'm broken or that something's wrong with me. I probably am someone who gets tired of things. And what if that's okay? You just want to be aware of it. And then you just want to say, like, there are some things I'm like, yeah, I get tired of doing that. And I'll only do them when, like, and when I say highly motivated, I don't mean feel good. For me, highly motivated is like the dishes are stacked so high. I'm very motivated to put them in the dishwasher now because we're running out of shit and the cats keep playing in it. And I'm cussing the whole time, but I'm motivated because the pain of having the dishes now outweighs the pleasure of letting them stack.
Right.
Sometimes motivation comes from pain. So,
I have to get more painful.
No, I think what you got to do is you got to quit putting such an unrealistic standard on yourself that, like, when I'm good, I guess enjoying cleaning, loving 4 a.m., only drinking smoothies and eating eggs. Like, your standard of what's being good. Now, tell me, now when I'm bad, this is what it looks like. Because I think the biggest problem that you have is you have this idea that there's a good version of you and there's a bad version of you. Instead of there's just different versions of me and none of it's good or bad. It's just kind of the way it is. So tell me about bad Linda. What's she doing? We already know she's like, fuck cleaning.
Stays up too late watching certain shows that she likes, but then falls asleep, and then and then oversleeps.
And that's bad.
Well, it's not good because then I'm not accomplishing the same things that I should be doing.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, you're saying, well, it's not bad, but it's not good. What if it's like, it doesn't matter? Like, I want you to really think about this. If you stayed up late watching some TV shows you wanted to, and you didn't get up first thing in the morning at 4 a.m., what all could you accomplish during the day if you weren't sitting there ashamed of yourself for not being a good person?
Well, I would be on time to have take my medicine and all that stuff, which I'm always late with, so I guess it doesn't matter much.
Okay, so that's good to know. It's not like,
and my, you know, and then my, then
here, as much as I'm telling myself.
And then my eating is all off because I might have somebody. Huh?
How does your eating?
Oh, because I'm eating later, so then whenever lunchtime is, it's closer to dinner time. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I do the same thing. I had breakfast this morning. I'm just going to let you know I've been on calls. Do you think Corinne got a lunch break today? Do you know when my dinner, you know when lunch is technically for Grant? I have one right after you. Y'all ain't the last stop on this little train today. Y'all a pit stop. I still got another 90-minute call when this call ends. Lunch is at 4 o'clock today, Linda.
Okay.
Now, do you think I'm telling myself, well, just all out of whack, this screws everything up.
What do you do then?
I've been bad for scheduling my calls like that. I was an asshole for doing that.
So what do you do then? I mean, you know, if you get up late and you have a breakfast, are you snacking in between at least?
No.
No.
No. I don't have a break. Unless I'm going to eat on the call with you.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I don't do that one because it makes me burp. And I don't like that. I don't like being the burpy coach.
Oh, okay.
Here's what
I do. All right. So then what do you, because I mean, normally you should eat before six, at least, you know.
Why do you have to eat before six?
Because that's the rule.
But what, that's what like, they tell that's you. A good thing to question. Why do you have to eat before six? Because it doesn't make you lose weight any better. Is there a medical reason why? That's what I want to know.
No, other than, I don't know, that's what I've heard.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the difference? And you tell me, like, literally explain it to me, because I don't understand what you've heard and learned. If you were to get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and you ate breakfast at 10 and then you ate lunch at 4 or say 3, whatever time you end up eating lunch, and then you eat at 8, what is the difference? Like, and you stop it enough and eat when you're hungry. What is the difference between that and getting up at or starting your meals at 6, then eat at 12 and then eat at 5? What is the difference?
Because you're not going to bed at the same time.
But what does that have to do with weight loss?
Because you're slowing down. You're not doing things.
Yeah, but if you ate the same amount of food, what does that have? Are you like, so let me ask you this. When you eat dinner, do you go out for a run that I don't know about?
No.
Right. If I had to guess, after dinner, you're slowing down, whether you go to bed or not. We know one thing you're not doing, cleaning.
No. Trying.
Yeah, we're going to do that in the morning, though. If I was you, I'd clean in the morning before your brain could be an asshole about it. Just be like, look, we're just doing this before we can even think about it.
It's a good idea.
I know. I'm just full of them, aren't I?
Sometimes.
That's right. Well, but I want you to see, if you literally are eating the exact same amount of food, the only thing that's different about eating later is you're shaming yourself. You're telling yourself, I'm being bad and I shouldn't be doing this. Because somewhere I read, probably 20 years ago, an article about it, or some fitness guru said it, and I never let it go after that. Even though science now contradicts it.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah. There's all kinds of science now about eating, like eating right before bed for women, and eating a carb can actually get you more sleep and allow you to wake up with more energy in the morning. It doesn't really matter, but this is the thing I want you to see. It doesn't really matter what the science is. This is why I teach eating when you're hungry and stopping at enough, because the science behind food changes about every 5 years when a different method comes out and it needs to be marketed and sold to women.
So the bottom line is I need to stop eating no matter what it is or no matter what time it is when I'm full.
You're hungry, you need to eat. And if you've had enough, it's just time to stop. And then you need to pay attention to when you want to keep eating as to why. Is it because I'm telling myself I was bad today because I overslept?
I'm hardly ever hungry when I eat. I eat because I enjoy it. I like food. I like good tasting food.
We all should.
And because because I'm older and I have to take this shit ass medicine, so yeah. I have to eat something every time I take that.
Okay. And how so many times a day do you have to take that medicine?
3 times a day.
Okay. So you got 3 meals every single day that you get to take your shit ass medicine. And that works perfectly. Just eat 3 meals and make sure you enjoy them. And that you're telling yourself, this absolutely works for weight loss. And I'm just going to time it around my medicine. It does not matter. Like if I'm eating 3 meals a day, it does not matter what time I'm eating them. As long as I'm stopping at enough, I'm good. For you, because you have to time it around medicine, I would not wait for hunger. I would just decide, all right, I need to take this 3 times a day. I'm just going to do it with my meals. If I wake up at 4 in the morning, this is when the first meal starts. And this is when it is. If I wake up at 8 o'clock, like, wouldn't you wake up when you watch TV at night and you stay up late?
9.
Okay. Then when do you like to eat breakfast when you wake up at 9?
Well, I have to.
But you need to, you take it, that's what I'm asking you. Does your medicine start when you wake up? Is that what that's what I'm asking?
Well, yeah, I'm supposed to start at 7.
Yeah, but like, I want you to ask your doctor, are you supposed to start at 7 and what reason? Like, tell me why it needs to start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know. That's why when they started me after surgery, they said 7 o'clock, take this and, you know.
Okay, have you asked them, is 7 o'clock important or do you just mean upon waking?
I think they mean, you're probably right. Yeah, they probably mean upon waking.
Okay, I would just verify, Corinne is not a doctor. But if they mean upon waking, then if you're waking up at 9, then there's no, like, I want you to, like, this is like one of those good examples where you've been telling yourself, I'm bad. I stay up late. And then that means I can't take my medicine like I'm supposed to. Wah, wah, wah. Instead of like, oh, let me question it. Did they mean actually 7 a.m. or do they mean upon waking? So if it's upon waking, then it's not a problem to get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I'll eat breakfast. And then, like, this is my schedule when I wake up later. I eat every, 4 to 5 hours, whatever it is you want it to be.
That's true. They go by the hours, really, 24 hours or every 12 hours or every 4 hours or something like that. They don't really specify what time.
All right. So now how does that feel?
Better.
Good. You know why? We're thinking about it like this. We're thinking about it in terms of, okay, what do they really mean? What can I do to help myself? Instead of, fuck, I've messed up. I must be bad. I shouldn't be doing this. I have to be perfect in order to lose weight. For all of you, there is, I talk about this on the outside, but I'll tell y'all on the inside. The average woman tries to lose weight 130 times before the age of 40, which means that you're coming in with a lot of food rules from all these different diets you've been trying and whatnot over the years. Most of them were just built on somebody wanting to sell some books. So they came up with some research. I mean, literally, I just want you all, for all of you get stuck in thinking about the shit that you think about when it comes to losing weight. Every book that's peer reviewed, like we did studies and blah, blah, blah. They hired people to do studies to prove the shit they put in their book so they could sell it. Now, I'm not saying that all that stuff can't work in some way, but most of you come to me with a lot of rules that some other diet now has disproved because they have a contradictory thing. They teach something completely different. And science keeps evolving. But you know what has never changed over the course of human existence? When we're hungry, we eat. And when we are right before, like either eat until you're full or eat until right before you're full to lose weight. Eat until you're full to maintain, eat below full to lose. Water and sleep. Now, those three things have never changed over the course of time. In fact, most diets try to get you back to that. And I'm just saying, why don't we start there?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I hope that lightens you up a little bit. And it frees you from the tyranny of thinking you should love cleaning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Might be the best coaching I did today to free another woman of thinking that she should enjoy cleaning. So I'm going to tell y'all, there have been times in my life where I actually enjoyed cleaning. Like, and not a lot, like an occasion. It's as Coach MJ says, enjoying cleaning for me was like Bigfoot. I knew it existed. It'd been seen before, but I'd never seen it. And then every now and then I'd get a glimpse and I would have like joy of cleaning. And I would have thought I spotted the Bigfoot until the next time when I hated every second of it. All right. Did I have anybody that felt like they, Lee, I'm going to call you up because you had your hand up, but feels like they need something stricter or they need more rules because having freedom's not working. Love to coach on that. If not, we'll get somebody. I think I'm coaching next week. We'll get somebody then. Okay, Linda, I'm going to call on you next then because it's not really about the perfectionism. Because you put in, you wanted to be coached on perfectionism. I'm not talking about perfectionism. I'm talking about like, I need things strict and I need things hard. Like I need to find something that's strict and hard because I can't just do freedom. Freedom is too much for me or whatever. All right, Lee.
Hi.
Tell me the things.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. Never been coached before by you.
Okay.
And I've lost about 37 pounds.
Good for you.
But I'm going to say it's taken me too long, and you're going to say, no, that doesn't matter.
Well, let me say this. Let me ask you this. I know that's a thought that you have, but if I said, from now on, every woman that says the weight they lost took too long, they have to take it back, lose it again, but faster. Because too long was not good enough. Would you take your weight back?
No.
Why?
Because that's ridiculous.
Why else would you not take it back?
Because I don't want it back.
Yeah. So why would you ever talk to yourself about like it took too long? Because that's going to feel like shit and probably drive you to slowing things down. Like, the more, I'm just going to tell y'all, it's the secret to weight loss. The worse you make yourself feel, the slower your weight loss is. Because most of us are eating our feelings. So if you want to speed up weight loss, talk to yourself better. And just see how that shit works for a little while.
Yeah, I have a lot of problem with self-talk. It tends to be bad. I have a lot of problem with guilt right now.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this.
Do you think weight loss is taking longer?
Because, like, tell me why you think it's taking longer than you think it should. Do you think it's the guilt and stuff or what? Like, what are you eating over?
In 2015, I lost my 19-year-old son in a wreck.
Okay.
And at first, everything tasted like cardboard, and I lost 20 pounds. I've never been thin. I've always been heavy. And then after that, I guess it was about 8 or 9 months, I started eating again and looked at everything as you're grieving, you deserve it. You can have that brownie, you deserve it. You can have this, you can have that. You can eat whatever you want, you deserve it.
Okay. So you were getting through your grief.
And feeling like I'm not good enough all the time and that I'm a failure most of the time.
A failure for what?
As a mother, mostly.
How did you fail him?
There's a lot of what ifs in that.
Well, I know there's a lot of what ifs, but tell me exactly how you know you failed him.
We had the opportunity to get him a car that had airbags, and he did not have one.
Okay.
And
what was the, why did you not get the airbag car?
He wanted to drive daddy's truck.
Oh, so that wasn't yours. So now you got to give me something else.
Okay.
That wasn't you saying like, oh, well, okay. I'm going to like let you do this because I know it's probably extremely dangerous and we're going to roll the bones.
Yeah.
You were probably like most parents. He wants to drive his daddy's truck. Okay. Like, did you sit there and consider like, you know, something very tragic could happen to my son. His wants, tragedy. Or did you just like, was it a nothing burger? Just like, well, that's what he wants. So, okay.
Probably.
I want you to actually tell me what happened. Because if you did weigh it out, then we need to reconcile that. But if you didn't, we don't want to be holding ourselves with shame and guilt over something that we didn't even do.
Right. I guess it was kind of half and half because we talked about him having a car that was newer. We didn't have
newer
a whole lot
airbags
of money.
Or just newer?
Newer with airbags.
Okay. All right. So we talked about getting a new car with airbags. He said, but I want to drive daddy's truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
Well, it's my daddy's truck. So it's granddaddy's.
Granddaddy's truck.
He was staying at my parents' house because my mother had broken her hip and Daddy was having a lot of dementia problems
Okay.
here, and so he was staying there to help them out. And I was kind of pulling away and trying my best to, he was 19, and I was trying my best to let him grow up. And he was in college. He was going to the community college, so he's commuting. And I just feel like if I had known what he was doing and I told him one more time, you don't need to stay out all night and
So
drive
you
while you're
didn't know
tired.
what all he was doing. Because you said, if I'd known.
I didn't know that weekend what he was doing.
Yeah.
He.
So I want you to see, you did not do anything on purpose to put this child in a situation where his life would be taken away from him. Can we at least agree to that?
Yes.
And when I say that, what comes up for you?
But what if I had done? What if I had done this? What if I had done
I
that?
know
What
your
if I had
brain
done
is
that?
saying that, right? Every
The
brain.
shoulda, woulda, couldas.
Yeah, your brain is going to want to do that. So now we're going to have to answer it with, I did not purposely do anything to end my child's life.
I did not purposely do anything to end my child's life.
No.
I did not.
No. One, like this is when woulda, coulda, shouldas come up. And this is, I mean, hell, we all do this on, what if yesterday I had ate breakfast and maybe I wouldn't have binged last night. I mean, every one of us does this, and yours feels very important to you because it's the life of your child. But I want to tell you, it is still just as a useless waste of his memory in your life to argue with the past, especially when you never, ever were doing anything to put that child in harm's way. You did not know. It would have been great if, I don't care if you believe in God or not, y'all. I know y'all get all upset when I talk about God, but I'm just going to say it.
I do.
Well, God was not going to come down and tell you what was fixing to happen. Short of that, you have no way of knowing. None of us do. None of us. And when your brain wants to do all that, all it's trying to do is make sense of something that makes no sense. You did your best as a mother. He was taking care of his grandparents. He was probably going out like a normal 19-year-old or however old he was at the time. Our children aren't supposed to die.
He was working
Your
on a.
brain wants to know why this happened, and the best way the only target it can find is you. That's the
Yeah.
only reason why it's doing it. Go ahead. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say he was he and a group of guys that are were in his class were working on a project together.
Yeah.
So he wasn't doing anything wrong.
No, and neither were you. Like, this is the hard part of life. This is why you have some compassion for yourself. There are just things that happen, and they make no sense.
Had a hard time not having compassion, or had a hard time having compassion for myself, I guess.
Yeah, and this, I think, like, if you forget the weight loss stuff. Like, if you can just start when your brain wants to go to all that and just say, this is just a mother's heart. trying to make sense of something that makes no sense. This is me grieving. This is me mad. This is me, whatever it is. And feel that, because what ends up happening, especially in guilt, is when we do coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and we blame ourselves and we do all of that stuff, we don't move forward in our grief. We don't miss them enough. We think we're missing them when all we're really doing is shaming ourselves. We're not really doing the work of the grief. The only
I've been trying.
I know. And you're just going to have to, I mean, my best advice is you just have to keep trying, but you have to let your brain bring it up over and over again. And then you have to be there for yourself. Right now you're turning to food. That is a way to turn, like, to be there for yourself. And I don't even want you shaming yourself for that. I just want you to think about, what are the other ways I can be there for myself? Because this is what I believe. You're turning to food because somewhere deep down, you know that you were not to blame and that there was nothing you could have done. And if someone would have told you what was going to happen, you would have moved heaven and earth to prevent it. And that's the story to tell when all that starts coming up. If I would have known, I would have done everything I could have. Not if I would have known, that wouldn't have happened. Because right now the story is, I didn't do these things, so that happened. And that feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I did not mean to get so emotional about your story.
I've cried so much. It's my grandmother lost my grandfather when he was really young, and she didn't cry a whole lot during my lifetime. And she always said it's because she cried all her tears out already. And yeah. I think that's part of why I cry at the weirdest things.
Yeah, no, I feel it. Like, you know, that's kind of been my story about Logan. Like, especially when he was little, it's not the same, but I felt like a grief, like I had lost my child.
Yeah.
Long time. Like, sometimes I would cry and then I would just go weeks of being busy, months of thinking about everything I did and ate when I was pregnant, trying to figure out how I was the blame, because I was trying to desperately make sense. Like,
yeah, that's kind of, we have a younger son as well, and he's 5 years younger. And I feel like I let him down because he never graduated from high school because he was 15 when it happened. And he didn't graduate from high school. He didn't go to college. He finally, in the past 2 years, he finally has a good career job that he loves.
So how did you let him down if he's now on a job?
I feel better now that he has that, but for the first 6.5 years, I felt horrible because I couldn't help him.
Yeah. But it all worked out. So just, I know you're kind of past that part, but I would just say, like, and you know, when things happen, you know, like, we just can't control everything. Everybody makes choices and stuff. And it sounds like he's a resilient young man. He's figured it out. He's figured out how to have the life he wants. And he likes his life.
Oh, he loves flying. He loves what he does.
Awesome. He's
a tree trimmer. He climbs trees for a company.
Yeah. All right. So what are we going to do?
Stop feeling guilty about things I can't control.
Well, We're going to feel guilty. And then we're going to what? Remind ourselves the new story.
Saying I knew I would feel that way, but my new story is I couldn't do anything about that.
Yeah, if I'd known, there's a thousand things I would have done, but I did not. And I'm like, I just want you to watch this call again, because I want you to hear the different thoughts I offered you. Because I know a lot of times when you're on the call, it's really hard to remember a lot of them, but I want you to write a few of them down about how, like, you, if you'd known, you would have done different, but you didn't. I want you to calm yourself in times when you're like feeling the guilt, all the things, and just say, this is me trying to make sense out of something that does not make sense. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lord, y'all. I was getting emotional. Linda, let's do you, since you're the one that wants to coach on needing it the hard way.
I'm coming.
Anybody that just said that they, somebody just said that they, I'm a little stuck due to effort eating and grab assing. Don't worry about the grab assing for now. Stop the effort eating by doing this simple thing. When you start effort eating, you have to tell yourself, I refuse to go into fuck it mode. Like, I have to break the habit of fuck it mode to get unstuck. There's nothing that's happened that, like, number one, and I have got some classes on fuck it mode eating. So make sure you go through the membership and listen to the classes on fuck it mode about why we do it very often. I think we did it not too long ago. Mish, if you can look it up, there's some fuck it eating classes. And one of them was like breaking down reasons why we do it. And make sure that you watch those, because very often fuck it eating comes from tomorrow thinking, like, I'll do better tomorrow, which tomorrow never comes. It comes from thinking, like somehow you've done bad, instead of just like, look, I just made a mistake. We got to move on. All right, Linda, can you turn your camera on?
It is on, but I see Mish too. So you, I don't know if that has, Mish,
but we don't see you. I guess your camera's not hooked up. That's all right. Just talk to me.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm sorry. Last time you coached me was just me and you, so I don't know if there's something going on, so I apologize. But what you just said kind of about structure and rules and things like that, I've always been like that, and I was thinking about it this week. It's like, I'm wondering if I'm at the point where I'm getting like almost OCD about this. So I do like that. I like knowing that I have things to follow and things to do and things like a ladder to get me to a certain point. Another program I was on, and I'm sure it's not a surprise, you know, anyone else who's been in this program, who's probably been on this diet, you had to set an alarm on your phone to eat every 2.5 to 3 hours. And then when I first started, I really liked that because it gave me a sense of comfort because it was something that was structured. But then I went to a friend's party and it's like, oh no, my alarm went off. I don't have my bars. I don't have my shake.
This is the story we want to switch. It was never right. Comforting.
Exactly.
It was actually cumbersome. This is what I think happens when we think we want more structure. We have to figure out, why do we want more structure? Like, tell me what, like, when, like, let's say tomorrow Kareem was like, I stayed up all night, everybody. I created meal plans. From now on, you don't get to make your own plan. You got to follow Corinne's. Because there's a lot of you who are just like, oh my God, if you would just give us meal plans, I would be losing weight like a boss. What would it like do for you?
It gives me a guide and something to follow.
Let me ask you this before we get too far into it. What is the difference between me giving you a 24-hour plan for you to write down what you're going to eat for the day versus if I just gave you what to eat for the day?
Well, first of all, I look at you and I see success. So that's part of it. Like if she followed this and ate this and looks like that, then, you know, obviously she knows what she's talking about. She knows, you know, she's gotten there by following these rules. The hard part for me is I don't cook or I don't do anything. I'm lucky if I microwave. So, you know,
so that's you're going to lose weight like I did. Cause you know, that's right. All I
need
to
Aunt JJ.
I actually ate out in the beginning because I didn't cook and I still don't.
Right. Exactly. I need Aunt JJ to have a delivery service. So I think
you
in
know,
some
Aunt
ways,
JJ doesn't do it for on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Ah, okay.
Now, Corinne kind of has to like woman up, be an adult.
I don't think that.
I guess I'm just like cater to. Do you know who tells Aunt JJ what to cook?
You do.
Yeah, Aunt JJ's not making Corinne's meal plans. Corinne has to build the structure she wants.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So my question, though, like, I just want you to see how many excuses you come up with.
Right.
That get you away from, why is it that you think that being given something to you is better than you creating the rule and the structure for yourself if you like rules and structure?
I think it gives me safety in the sense of I don't have to think about it for myself. Like someone's basically telling me what to do and then I get to where I want to be. But I see your point because it's counterintuitive.
No, it's okay. Like I'm going to give you a really easy solution. If you want someone else to actually just give that to you, then you just need to go on the internet to Pinterest, search for 1800 calorie diets, print one off and do it.
Okay.
And then that's your structure. If you really want someone to just say, like, this is why I didn't want y'all going out and hiring people to tell you what to do. You don't need it. It's free all over the internet. Seriously.
It is.
I mean, Pinterest probably has 1 million meal plans on it.
Yeah.
If you really want structure, y'all, that's all you got to do.
Right. Yeah.
You can eat the same shit every day.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's my structure. I just eat the same fucking shit every day.
I need to do that because sometimes I'll say, it's kind of like I don't want to say excuse, but maybe excuses everything. Well, I broke it, so I'm going to do this. Or I've had pizza, but it's not on a plan, so I'm going to do this. Or I walked 5 miles, so I have a little extra room and I can do this. So I really need to.
This is what I want to highlight to you. If you're like all of you, I want you to hear this. If you're making your own plan each day and you're breaking it because you tell yourself, I'd rather have pizza. I walked 5 miles so I can have more, whatever that is. It will be the same excuse that will come up when you follow somebody else's plan.
True.
You will have to eventually. This is why so many, we have a lot of people that leave No BS saying, it's just too much freedom. I need more rules. I'm going to go join another program where they just tell me what to eat because this is just too free for all for me. I'm just making excuses. They go and 2 months later, they're back because they're like, well, I went over there. And guess what? After the first 3 weeks, I was back to making excuses.
Exactly.
The structure was never the problem.
Exactly.
The learning how to listen to your excuses and follow through when you don't want to, whether I gave you that, you gave you that, is what matters.
Exactly. And what I was thinking too, even when I was on that other program, it's like, okay, and I wasn't even on it maybe a month. And I'm like, okay, but this isn't sustainable for the rest of my life. And I haven't even gotten there yet. And I'm already like pre-planning. So if I could do that, I was trying to think about it. Like if I can take that structure and put it to my life, to the things that I want to do, then I'm golden because I still have made my own structure within that. So if I can eat a bar or shake every 2.5 to 3 hours, why can't I eat an apple or a protein bar, make my own protein shakes every 2.5 to 3 hours? Because then I'm eating the food that I want that's not giving me horrible stomach pains, and I'm still following that structure. So I kind of come, I'm working on my own plan within the plan that you give, because I've upped my water, my sleep has gotten much better. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that I've taken from your program to apply to my regular life, you know, my work life and things like that. So like the other caller said, this is kind of like the last piece. So, and I do apologize for my camera. I don't know what's going on.
No, you're fine. But
so,
I think you kind of know what you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, let's work on excuses. Let's actually come up with plans that we want to do. Let's take the best of things that we've done in the past that we liked and make them work for me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I think too, because then it's like, and it's the portions too. Like, okay, I can have one slice of pizza. I don't have to have one pizza. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's ways to do it. Like yesterday I gave a platelet donation. So sometimes I give myself permission on those days to maybe eat a little bit more, have something, because you have to replace what you've lost.
Yeah.
And
like
I
that
do
just
it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I, like today I'm like back on it. I have my, you know, I had my coffee, I have my little egg bites, you know, it's like, I don't need to do that. I just need to up my water, which I need to do anyway. So yeah. I just need to really work on saying in a sense that this is even okay. Like you don't have to be so strict and rigid, but
no.
You still have to stay with color within the lines. So
this is the thing with all of you when it comes to being strict. A lot of you are like, I need something stricter because the rules here, like I can't follow. So if I just had harder rules, I probably would do better.
Right.
It's like, look, if y'all can't do simple rules, what, like, I want all of you to think about this who suffer from this thought. If the simple rules are hard to follow, it's not because someone's not browbeating me to death that's going to make me successful. Like giving more rules doesn't make you more successful. The ability to follow rules is what makes you successful.
Right.
So if the rule is I don't fuck it eat anymore, then we have to be like, all right, every time I want to fuck it eat, it's time to stop. If the rule is I have pizza or extra food on days I donate my platelets, then we eat extra on that day. And the rule also has to be, and I don't feel guilty.
Right.
I don't feel bad. I just understand that this is what I've planned. Like for all of you, rules in and of themselves don't make you feel restricted until, I want you to all think about, if we just all were putting rules up here, for all of us, if you feel restricted, it's because you have thoughts about those rules.
Exactly.
So some, like for me, like somebody asked, Dory says, I definitely need more structure. So Dory, here's what, I try to give it to myself, but allowing myself to have treats and plan whatever I want means that I overeat. No, that doesn't mean that you overeat. You're probably saying, when I have treats, that's me being bad. When I have treats, like this is novel. Like I really should, like a lot of times, and I did this class too, I believe it was either last month or month before. When I have treats, I'm being bad. I shouldn't be doing this. Whatever you do, don't overeat. When we're having the treats, we have so much anxiety that we end up overeating.
Right.
You don't overeat because it's a treat. Otherwise, every person would do it. Treats can't cause overeating.
Right.
Shitty thinking while you're eating them will definitely cause overeating. So if you
exactly.
need more structure, you need more structured thinking when you're eating those foods. Wait, I need Dory back. Hey, Mish, if I mark it answer live, that means you don't touch it until I'm done. I'm trying a new feature. And then I plan whatever I want means that I overeat. That does not mean that you overeat. If you're planning whatever you want and the entire time you're like, this is dangerous. I don't know if this is going to work. I'm probably going to screw this up. I shouldn't be doing this. You will overeat because you're causing anxiety.
Exactly.
I don't ever overeat broccoli, but I do pasta and potatoes, probably because you have a very different relationship with pasta and potatoes. You probably tell yourself, I rarely get this. This is a dangerous food. This is hard for me. Blah, 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 blah. When you eat broccoli, you're like, it's broccoli.
Yeah.
But no one is sitting there thinking much about it at all. And then you wonder why you don't overeat.
Right. Or an orange or something like that. It's so true. And I think of what my mom used to say too. She goes, they call it a treat for a reason. So there's a lot of emotional attachments to those things too. Like my mom used to take us to Dairy Queen and things like that. It was a treat. And so I feel like if I have it in my house and it's not a treat anymore and it's not special. So that's another rule for me personally that I'm working on. Like I really want to enjoy the experience and have the treat. So I'm not going to have it in the house. That's just for me, like totally for me.
That's the same way I am. Like if you walk into our pantry, the only thing you really see in there is you'll see, now that Logan's 21, we don't even keep that stuff in the house. Logan goes to the convenience store to buy candy now.
Oh.
Because he likes to drive. So Logan's like, please don't buy these foods and keep them in the house because then he has no reason to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Now he's like, you know, I'm going to McDonald's today. I'm going to whatever today because he enjoys getting out of the house.
Right.
But for me, there are certain foods I never keep in the house. And it's not because Corinne's like, oh my God, these are the foods that are bad for me and I can't have them and I just overeat them, blah, blah, blah. I thought about it. And for me, it's like, you know what? I do not want to, like, on the days when I'm really tired or if I'm really emotional, I don't want to be tempted on those days to be eating foods I love in a way that I won't love.
Exactly.
I want it to always be special. So like now, if I want ice cream, we go to Sonic.
Yep.
We get ice cream and we bring it home and eat it.
I'm glad there's not a Sonic near me because I would go, like, to quote you, ham on those tater tots.
Well, but so I have to
drive a good 30, 45
like,
minutes.
My Sonic is like a mile and a half down the road.
Wow.
I mean, it's literally a mile and a half. It's in the same parking lot as my sports bar. I mean, I own a sports bar. It's full of wine, booze, beer, pretzel bites, pickle fries, nachos, all the things. I don't go ham on them, but it's Linda. My thought is never, oh my God, it's so close to me. This is going to be so hard. I don't think like that. So I don't feel panic and anxiety and a huge desire. I think I'm really glad my sports bar now has nachos because when I want nachos, I know exactly where to go. I'm really glad Sonic's down the street because when I really want to enjoy some ice cream, when I really want to have the things I love, I know exactly where to go. Like, and I think about it like that. And that takes time and conditioning, but all of you got to take the temperature down of how you're talking about it. Because the reason why so many of you, most of you think if I had more rules, if someone just told me I can't have these things, if I bought a diet and they told me I couldn't have these things, then I would comply. You would comply for a little bit until your life got in the way. Until your mood changed.
Yep.
Until you were so feeling like you couldn't have things that you broke. And that's the story you need to be telling yourself. Because I don't care if you want to do other programs and you want to have rules and stuff. I just don't want you putting your power and your authority over food in someone else's hands. Because it's always in yours. Because I know all of you. The second you have a bad day, the second you have a huge craving, it will not matter who you're paying or what that paper says.
Right.
If somebody's not teaching you how to deal with that shit, you will override it. And then you will come right back here saying, yeah, it really wasn't the structure. That kind of felt like ass, actually.
Well, that too, and I've heard this come up before. It's not the cookie that makes you fat. It's the thought about the cookie that causes the issue. So I just need to learn how to enjoy a cookie and move on from my life. Because I'm around a lot of naturally thin people, and they'll just have like one cookie and be fine. And I'm like, You didn't eat one sleeve? Like, what's wrong with you people? But so I need to start emulating those behaviors.
Let me ask you this. Why did they not eat a sleeve?
They just have one cookie and they're done with it. I mean, it's just a cookie. It's not what the cookie represents
it's
to them.
It's just a cookie.
Yeah.
And why do you eat a sleeve? Because a cookie's dangerous.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, they're not saying they're going like, cookies.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're just having a cookie.
I get it.
They probably have permission to eat the cookies whenever they want. Because I will tell all of you, the moment you give yourself permission to actually eat the food you want, for a little bit, let me just say this. In the very beginning, when you are repairing your relationship with these foods, when you first give permission, you may have a few weeks where you feel like you can't control yourself around it. Because the old you is just like, oh, thank God. Eat all, like, because there's a version of you on the inside who's like, we better eat all we can because this bitch is going to take it away. And then when you eat a lot, you do take it away and you just prove your fears true. So then now, the next time your brain is the same way. Every time you get permission, it's just like, oh my God, eat up. She's going to take it away. I just know she's going to take it away. What we have to do is we have to train ourselves like, look, even if you overeat it, you can still have cookies tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, we did not do a bad thing here. We're just learning how to convince ourselves that these cookies aren't going away.
Right.
And when you don't feel like it's going to go away, you don't have to hold on to it so much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be stuff. I mean, just in life, not even necessarily food, but just in life, there's always going to be something that is going to be triggering and I need to, like you were saying before, sit in those feelings sometimes rather than just numbing them.
Exactly.
You're so wise, Corinne. I wish you could see me. I have my pearls on. I don't know what's wrong with my computer. I apologize. I got a new one and maybe I didn't set everything up correctly, but what you say, and I've told you this before, and I truly mean it from the bottom of my heart. You are such a blessing to me because I've done a lot of the work. You coached me back in May about a regain. And then we went through all the terrible things, you know, back in October. And just you and your team and the words that they provide and the comfort, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate. I can see you, but you can't see me. I'm just so touched by what your team does and how they empathize with all of us, no matter what our situation is, what we believe in. You are just such a blessing. And you've done such a service to this world in training these people and bringing a whole team of wonderful, wonderful people to the world.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh my God. Someone said, just move your slide cover.
That's all right. We got it all done.
So here I am with my pearls and everything. So my Mardi Gras pearls, and I'm Jewish. So, you know, you got to improvise, but you seriously. And I don't think there's not one person on this call who wouldn't agree with me on this, that just, like I said, it's not just food, it's not just cookies, it's not just chips, it's pizza, it's life. We all go through things. We all have relationships, difficult relationships, great relationships, and you could just apply this to anything. Okay. So
I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, I had a really tough situation at work and I just stepped away and I said, okay, just apply some teachings that you've learned to this situation as well. And it really helped me get through.
Well, I appreciate all that. And I will make sure the team hears all of that good stuff you said too, because they do work awful hard.
Yes.
All
yes.
Right. And thank you.
God, maybe I should have left the camera closed.
That's funny.
I'm a hot mess.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
All right. I've got two questions we're going to answer. Then we got to get out of here because I got a call starting in a few minutes. One was, I thought I saw that other one. What do I do with the treats, snacks I have in my house now? When I F it eat, that's what I go to. So Teresa, this is my best advice. If that's your go-to for the treats and snacks, number one, I would portion them all out. Don't have them in there. It's just free for alls. Like if you've got chips and all that kind of stuff, get them into bite-sized portions. I would also do this. Like I'm a big believer in, because I don't think you need to get rid of all of them. Just don't throw away all your food and stuff. Because I mean, I hate waste as much as anybody, but if it would be better for you to be like, you know what? Some of this, I just need to get rid of it for now. I really want to work on when it's time to go into effort mode. I want to have to deal with my emotions. That is one of the things that I did a while back was I was kind of having some effort experiences. This is a few years ago. And we had some food in the house that like it was for Logan and stuff. And I just finally just told the boys, I said, look, if y'all want this stuff, y'all can have it. I'm happy to go to the grocery store anytime you want it. But I am just going through something right now. Like I just need to not have this food in the house. And we took it out so that I was forced to deal with my issues so that I could not be like saying, well, I screwed up, so I might as well. I just took all the safety nets out for that stuff. And it made me sit and be like, all right, now when you feel like you screwed up for the day, guess what you got to do? Sit there and think about how you're going to deal with this. Solve the problem. So that's one technique. You can also portion everything and put obstacles in your way. So it's like, you know, don't make your effort food so easy to access. You know, for me, if anything is in the cabinet above a refrigerator where I have to get a stepladder, put shit up there portioned. So that then the point of it is not because it's a bad food or anything. It's because we know the foods that we are going to eat when we are in a bad mood, when we are not on our A game. And so when I'm not on my A game and when I'm in a bad mood, my reasoning brain leaves the building just like everybody else's. It's like when you are in an emotional state, your brain shuts down the thinking and reasoning part. The parts is like, oh my gosh, we have dreams and goals and here's our whys and all the things. It just shuts it down. And it does that to protect us. Because if we're overly anxious or overwhelmed or stressed or upset, it thinks it needs to go into reaction mode to keep us safe. It's not sitting there thinking like, oh, we should get out a slide rule and do complicated math and figure things out and, you know, sit back and ponder. It literally thinks like your body cannot tell the difference between feeling bad about what somebody said to you and feeling bad because someone's coming at you with a butcher knife. It does not know the difference. It just takes those chemicals, just get released, and they're always treated equally the same. That's why sometimes putting the foods like high up in containers, portioned out and stuff, you've got all these little things that you have to do that where your brain has to think to go get it now. That means it has to stop feeling what it felt in order to now start thinking and planning on how to go get that. That means the reasoning brain came back on, which means it also is likely to maybe engage reasonable thoughts. Like, do you really want this? Are you sure? Are you just feeling bad? Like as you're climbing the ladder to get to it, are you 100% sure? Maybe you just need to go lay down for a minute. Maybe you just need some quiet time. Maybe you just need to tell your partner, you got to deal with the kids for a few minutes because I'm losing my shit. And you go to another room, whatever that is. Now, somebody else said, I definitely need more structure. I try to give it to myself, but allowing myself, oh, I already did that one. This is the one I want to answer. Lisa, how do you make eating the same foods daily not be restrictive? I have lost weight by doing this. Then I go on vacation and eat other foods and gain weight. So I eat the same foods all the time and it doesn't feel restricted to me. It feels easy and simple. It feels reliable and dependable. I plan foods I like. That way, I'm just like, I'm getting a guaranteed winner every day. Like the foods, I don't even know what I asked Aunt JJ for this week. I know I've got my favorite salad in there because I've got like, trust me, I went on vacation. I got on like MSNBC's lockdown that was going on downtown. I was like, fruits and vegetables this week, my friend, because Corinne does not like being constipated. And then I sent her a recipe. I don't even remember what it is, but it was something that I've had before that I really like. So I sent it to her. So what I have each day is simple, reliable, tastes good, not going to be disappointed. Love it. For me, that's easy. Now, when I go on vacation, I eat lots of things I don't normally eat because I'm actually on vacation. I had a blondie twice this last few days. I have a rule. We know, remember we talked about rules? I have a rule. If a restaurant has a blondie, this bitch is having it because a blondie is my all-time favorite dessert and they're very hard to find. Like they're just, I rarely go to a restaurant where they've got one. And y'all, they had a macadamia nut blondie that was so good that the second night we went, that was the night that we like ordered so much food. Luckily, I knew about the blondie and Lord, I made sure that thing went down first. So then the next night I was like, and we're going back. And I made sure, and we took one to go so that I was like, I'm going to wait a few hours. I don't care about the ice cream. I care about the blondie. And then I saved half of it. I brought it on the plane home. I found a bag that I could put it in. And then I was starving on the plane and I had my little blondie. Now, when I go on vacation, I am like y'all. I almost always gain weight when I go on vacation. It's very rare that I don't. I almost always gain 3 to 4 pounds. One, I'm full of shit usually when I get back. I'm eating foods I normally don't. I'm probably eating, sometimes I eat to full and stuff. I'm usually having a few drinks, whatever. It's just when I get back, I just like it said, she said, I go on vacation, I eat other foods and I gain weight. Okay. What is the big fucking deal? You gain a little weight on vacation, come home and get right back on plan. That's all I ever do. I never weigh after vacation, ever. I used to weigh because I wanted to see actually what happened. I had one vacation Chris and I took. I gained 7 pounds in 1 week. 7 pounds. This was years ago. I mean, this was back in our, we went to Vegas for a week. We didn't even drink back then. I'm like, what the hell was I doing? I didn't even drink. We played poker every day. Like I played, one time I played 18 straight hours. Never left the poker room. Ate every meal in the poker room. And ate fish and chips, French fries, hot fudge sundaes. I don't remember. I had grilled cheese sandwiches. I'm trying to remember what else I ate. I don't know. I ate poker room food the entire week. That's all we did. Gained 7 pounds. Came home, went to the grocery store, did my food prep. Next morning, went to the gym like I normally do. The entire time I was there, I just kept telling myself, whatever you're doing here has nothing to do with what you do at home. When I go home, I just go back to what I was doing. And guess what? That weight came off in 10 days. That's it. The problem is that you're making it a big deal. But it comes off in a few, yeah. Like it's gonna, like, I don't care if it takes a week or two. So what? It's coming off. Y'all just don't make such a big deal about all of it. Now, sometimes I go on vacation, I don't gain any weight. Sometimes I go on vacations and I just don't care about a lot of food. Like we go to Vegas a lot. We have ate out at every restaurant and stuff so much that now we order a lot of room service. We play a lot of poker. We go stand around in the pool all day and talk. I have a few drinks. I have breakfast. I have a few drinks. We have an early dinner and we're in bed by 8 o'clock. That is Vegas for us. Like we might play a little poker. I just order salads and stuff now. Because I've already had a lot of stuff. I'm just like, you know what? I can have anything I want. But I don't always want to just eat everything. Sometimes I'm just there to be at the pool, have a few drinks, and talk to my husband. The best thing I love about going to Vegas is shoulder-to-shoulder time with Chris. It's a time where we don't have interruptions. We can, like, plan and do things. So for all of you, I want you to think about when you are, like, going on vacations and stuff, do not stress. You don't have to have a free-for-all, but think, like, I always think through vacations. What matters and what doesn't? What's going to be helpful and what's not? Do I really want this or not? And I tend to do better on vacation when I'm not eating way past full. Sometimes I eat till full. Sometimes I eat till enough. I just try to remember why I'm there. All the reasons. And part of it is good food, but a lot of it is relaxation. Poker, time with my husband, sleeping in. So just don't forget all the things. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.